Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's talk about seriously now the immigration crisis that's going on at the border. And, you know, Mark Twain once said that you can there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. But these statistics are hard to ignore. And for that, we welcome in Dave Ray, Communication Director for FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform. Good morning, Dave.
Tommy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well. Thanks for taking the time and for tolerating our foolishness.
When you started the segment off, I thought, does he know who he has on the call here, or was I supposed to be on at a different time?
No. We like to enter. You know, we warm you up with that, Dave. We get you warmed up with an edition of a Florida woman. And I invite you to play every day because you'll find something different.
Okay.
Let's talk about the migrants. And I'm looking at an 88% increase. Now, 1, 2%, 5%, 10% margin of error, whatever. 88% increase in the number of migrants apprehended at the border is significant.
Yep. There's been a huge increase. So it's kind of the good news, bad news scenario. The bad news is that apprehensions at the border are at a decade high mark and have increased dramatically since the early 2000s. The good news is that for the fourth month in a row, those apprehensions are going down, and they're going down for really only one reason: actions taken by the Trump administration without a scintilla of help from the U.S. Congress, but administration actions taken both domestically and internationally with some of our neighbors to the south to try to end the mass asylum abuse that had caused this crisis in the first place, and hopefully eventually strike down catch and release altogether, which is what really had created – catch and release was really the jet fuel behind the explosion of this crisis. So, you know, 4 months in a row now, apprehensions have been going down. September's numbers are almost 100,000. Their apprehensions are 90,000 lower than they were in May. May was 144,000, September's 52,000. So you can see quite a drop there. It's not where we want to be. These are still historically high numbers, but they're certainly going in the right direction. And for those listeners out there who want to spend all of their time trying to figure out how to impeach President Trump, you should at least acknowledge the fact that his administration has done more to secure the border than any administration in recent American history.
So, Dave, what I want to ask you is when you talked about it, I don't know if you said skyrocketed, got out of hand because of abuse of the asylum thing. Is that what you said?
Right. So the vast majority of people coming in are doing so because of catch and release. And that's whereby you enter the U.S. illegally and ask for political asylum.
But can we go slow? When did that start?
It's been honestly going on for the last 10 years off and on. This year it exploded. You know, really kind of, it had been slowly ticking up and then kind of exploded this year as the Trump administration was trying to take some steps to end it altogether. What contributed to that? There's some, you know, a lot of people in Central America are making money off of migrant smuggling. There had been organizations in the U.S., nonprofits like Casas Sin Fronteras that was organizing caravans. If you'll recall, the beginning of the year, there were caravans coming up from Central America.
And to be clear, that's not the first year that that's happened. This happens. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, the more it's one of those things that kind of catches on like wildfire. The more people who get away with it, the more people there are who want to try it.
Word of mouth.
So,
right?
Yeah. And there were actually advertisements in Central America about, you know, getting to the United States, and you know, you had coyotes who are smugglers who were you know, recruiting people to come up. So it just kind of got to the point where not only were the three primary Central American countries all, you know, orchestrating or allowing this to happen, but we had more people coming in from more than 140 countries last year. So word spread quickly. Let's face it, we live in a world where 6 to 7 billion people, or at least 6 billion people, are living at standards well below those in the United States. And so once it became publicly known that they could get away with it, it just caught on like wildfire. And Congress, you know, the election of the Democrats to Congress might have added to this, because it was crystal clear that they weren't going to do anything to stop the crisis. In fact, they were talking about amnesties, and that might have contributed to the explosion. Nothing causes illegal immigration more like talk of an amnesty. So all of those things together contributed to, you know, a decade high apprehensions for this year. And thankfully, the administration has taken some very smart steps with our neighbors and domestically to try and bring these numbers back down.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. Dave Ray, Research Director for FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Dave, somebody texted in. So this guy's saying nobody from any other country should be allowed into the United States. I don't think that's what you're saying at all, and you can address it when we come back, okay?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
All right, good. When Dave Ray, Communications Director for FAIR, when we come back, 918. Traffic will be done for you when we need it. Right now, we take a break on WWL. 923. Just so you know, David Ray, our guest, the Communications Director for Federation for American Immigration Reform, the reason we played a Florida woman this morning is because LSU is playing Florida this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And it seemed like only an appropriate time to get it started. So I read a text before we left, and it said, I guess your guest is saying that nobody should enter the country. Hang on. Somebody texted in after I said that and said, it is infuriating when I hear statements like the text you just read insinuating that your guest, a.k.a. Dave Ray, doesn't want anybody to enter our country. It is obviously insanely ridiculous, and it bothers me to listen to that. I'm tired of hearing it. But that's why we give Dave Ray 10 minutes now to explain why that's not how he feels, because I'm sure that text that I read is representative of some people that are listening right now. So, Dave, the text again, a recap. So I guess Dave Ray and FAIR, they don't want anybody to come to the country at all.
Well, absolutely not. That is never a position that we've had. FAIR is the nation's oldest and largest immigration watchdog group. We've been advocating for regaining control of our borders, regaining control of illegal immigration through humane approaches, including a wall and you know, enforcement and so on. But we also support very generous legal immigration numbers. We've advocated a system whereby we would pivot to a merit-based system. Most of our legal visas right now are given out based on roughly 70 to 80% are given out based on simply having a family member here. We would advocate moving to a more merit-based immigration system, but we...
Wait, how would you... Dave, let me interrupt for a second. How would you define merit-based?
So, you know, obviously this is kind of in the idea stages, but it would be, you know, a high school diploma, literate in your language, your native language, perhaps, you know, having some English abilities, a college degree, a specific skill, anything. I mean, the problem is with our legal immigrant flow, and we take in about 1.1 million legal immigrants every year, 25% of those folks don't even have as much as a high school diploma. And they're coming here with less than a high school diploma, without any English, and they're failing miserably. That's why 63% of immigrant households are on some form of welfare, compared to 35% of citizens. In short, we are setting them up to fail. If we selected immigrants based on skills, you know, a college degree, limited English, some sort of, you know, trade or technological skill, we would be doing them a favor by pre-selecting them for success, but we'd also be doing ourselves a favor because we'd be bringing in people who are not going to rely on social services and are going to make this a better country. When you were selected, you would bring in your spouse and minor children, and that would be the end of it. Your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, if they wanted to follow you, would have to compete against everyone else in a non-discriminatory manner to come to the United States. And then we would have a cap on immigration. FAIR has advocated what we believe is a very generous cap of between 300,000 and 500,000 a year, which is considerably fewer than what we're currently taking, but still by far the most generous in the world. It's worth noting that other large immigration countries like Canada and Australia have already moved to a merit-based system. In terms of illegal immigration, somebody who says they want to secure their borders, that does not in any size, shape, or form mean that they want to end immigration. It's like the reason why we lock our doors when we go to bed at night is not because we hate our neighbors or we don't trust our neighbors. It's because we want to know who's coming into our house. And we have a right to know who's coming into our house. And we don't want to wake up the next day and find our living room full of people who've decided to move in and eat us out of house and home. The United States has the right and the obligation to know who it's admitting into its country, who are bringing in legally, and to know that illegal immigrants are not coming in large numbers. Those are the policies that we advocate. There are many ways of going about that kind of work in unison together to help crack down on illegal immigration. But certainly we need to know, the main questions that you should ask about immigration is how many do you want to let in? And how do you enforce the laws?
Dave, I got to jump in for a second. We're going to have to go in a minute. I want you to answer this text, please.
Yeah.
Question in reference to the immigration issue. Shouldn't there be more emphasis on enforcing laws against the companies that hire illegals?
Absolutely. It is illegal to hire an illegal immigrant. And those kinds of laws, the enforcement on those have slacked down. However, it's largely because of the availability of fraudulent documents that people are able to come up with a fake Social Security number, fake driver's license, and secure a job. We are pushing for what's called mandatory E-Verify. It's an online web-based system that would help an employer verify that anyone who they've hired is actually eligible to work in the United States. It's free. Many states are using it. It is a huge deterrent to illegal immigration because if you're a foreign worker, your actual picture comes up along with your ID. So states that have used it have found that they've largely discouraged illegal immigration. I mean, illegal aliens are like everyone else. They take actions because they think they're going to be able to get away with them. They're rational individuals. So if you convince people, like we've convinced a lot of people this year, that they're not going to get away with catch and release, they've slowed down their coming. If you convince people that you're not going to be able to come here and get a U.S. job unless you're authorized to work in this country, a.k.a. you're here legally, then we will drive illegal immigrants out of the workplace as well.
Let me jump in here. Another one before we let you go. So immigration is based on helping people, or is immigration based on helping people or the country?
We believe that immigration should be in the national interest. In other words, what's best for America? What does America need? What level of immigration does America need? Now, within that paradigm, certainly we would say people should be allowed to bring their spouses and minor children, but that's the end of it. So we believe that the primary driver for legal immigrants should be what is in the national interest. What level of immigration doesn't depress wages for American workers? Now, when you're talking about refugees, people who are fleeing political persecution, that's a completely different story. And the United States has always welcomed refugees, those who have a legitimate fear of political persecution, and will always welcome those types of folks. But when you're talking about legal immigrants, certainly the main question should be, can these people make it on their own, and can they improve the United States and make this a better country for them and for us?
Dave, in terms of employing illegals, I understand about E-Verify.
Right.
But if that is available and an employer ignores that and hires illegals anyway, I would believe the optics of a business owner being led away in handcuffs would have an impact on other business owners that were engaging in the same type of thing.
Absolutely, and the fines can be astronomically high. Right now, the proliferation of counterfeit documents is so great that in many instances it's hard to hold the employers accountable just because they're not document experts. E-Verify takes the guesswork out of this, and that therefore gives the employers, you know, they've done their due diligence, and it's blocked illegal immigrants from getting jobs that should otherwise go to U.S. citizens or those who are legally authorized to work in the country.
Dave, I appreciate your time. Have a good weekend.
Bet.
We'll talk to you again. Dave Ray, Communications Director for FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.